Well, welcome to Planet Shakers. Thanks so much for joining us again. It is such an exciting time here at Planet Shakers because we are days away from our Planet Shakers conference here in Melbourne, Australia. If you haven't registered yet, let me encourage you to register. We know it's going to be amazing. But without further ado, today I get the privilege of bringing you a word. I've entitled it, "It's Not About the Fish." Check this out. Hey, welcome to church. Welcome to 2020, the year of acceleration. Who was here last week for Vision Sunday? Anyone here? Anyone not here? If you weren't here, look, I'll be honest, you did miss out. But guess what? It's for the whole year. It's not for 1 week. It's 2020. It's a whole year of acceleration. If you missed it, I want to encourage you to get the podcast. Go and listen to it. Let it soak in your spirit. But I want to stir you up that God has something for you tonight. I don't know if you knew it from the moment you walked in. I don't know if you could sense it here in the middle of worship. But God has an encounter. It's already started. But I believe God's got a breakthrough for you. I believe God's got a miracle for you. I believe God wants to propel you and accelerate you and shift you forward tonight. So are you ready for the word? Well, if you're ready for the word, why don't you stand to your feet? Ha ha, I gotcha. Totally gotcha. Hey. Year of acceleration. This morning, we started our peninsula service down in the southeast of Melbourne. First service down in the peninsula, and a great time down there. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, "As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which so easily entangles," another version says. This one says, "which holds on to us. And let us run." Look at your neighbor and say, "Run." You run. "Let us run with determination the race." I want you to know that God has not just got a life for you where you're standing still, sucking up oxygen, but going nowhere and doing nothing with your life. God has got you on this earth for a purpose. Maybe somebody told you you were a mistake. Maybe you're still trying to work out and discover what it is you're called to. But you need to know you have a God in heaven who has a destiny and a plan and a race for you to run. You're not running against the person next to you. It's your race, it's your destiny, it's your future. God wants to take you somewhere. "Let us run with determination the race that lies before us." Verse 2. Here we land. "Let us keep our eyes fixed on ourselves, our own vision, our own..." But no. "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus." If you're wondering why we do this, it's Jesus. If you're wondering why we're excited, it's Jesus. If you're wondering who we're all about, it's Jesus. If you're wondering why we wanted to come meet you this week, it's Jesus. If you're wondering, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the key. Jesus is our breakthrough. Jesus is our miracle. Jesus is our salvation. He's the reason. And the scripture says, "Let us keep our eyes," which means sometimes we can look elsewhere. But the Bible's encouraging us to keep our eyes fixed, locked on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy, that's you, that was waiting for him, that's you. He thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right hand of God's throne. I reckon we should just take a moment to praise God for everything we just got reminded of in those two verses. We got a Savior, we got a King, we got a Redeemer. He is victorious. He's our Jesus. God, we thank you tonight for your presence. We honor you tonight for your word. We set our mind upon you. We fix our eyes upon you. You're the one we want. You're the one we desire. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. You can take a break. I want to speak to you tonight about this thought. It's not about the fish. It's not about the fish. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's not about the fish." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "I have no idea what that means." 2020 has been declared the year of acceleration. The reason we can declare that is because we see that that is who our God is. You see, we've already had testimonies just in this last week of things that God has done. We had people come along just from one urban life group. Three people come along, received this word of acceleration. These people needed a job. They've been applying for jobs for quite a while. They took a hold of this word and said, all right, God, you want to do acceleration? I'm going to thank you for acceleration. This week, three people in one urban life group all got an interview to progress them into the job that God has for them. I think that's pretty awesome. We had another guy come along to one of our urban life groups. He heard we did a whole video at Urban Life Group about the vision for the year. He is a business person working in a business that is not going well, but we declared acceleration. So he said, you know what, in this urban life group, I'm going to tell people what I'm believing for. I'm believing for acceleration. They were hanging out after Urban Life. He checked his phone. He got an email. In that email was a brand new contract for the business, which was a large contract, which on the spot turned around everything that was happening in that entire company. And he said, I think I have to leave right now. I'm going back to the office because I think I just got my acceleration. Can I stir you? If you came along last week and just heard a word, you're like, that's a nice word, and that's all it is to you, then maybe you didn't quite catch it yet, but acceleration is not just a word we put on our screen or speak over our church building. No, 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 it's for you. You are the church. God wants to bring acceleration in your life. Everywhere you turn, left, right, in front and behind, God wants to bring acceleration. Turn to your neighbor and say, acceleration. I was just getting ready for today during the week, and I just took a quick skim through the Bible of multiple times we see God do an acceleration. In the book of Genesis, there's a man named Isaac. It said that he sowed seed, he planted a crop during a drought. A drought is powerful, but God was in it. God's more powerful. The Bible says he reaped a crop 100-fold. That's acceleration. I was reading later on in the Bible, we see the man Joseph. He finds himself in prison. He is locked up. The head of that prison, he's got the keys. He holds the power over that prison. But guess what? God's more powerful. God was in that situation. And in one day, Joseph went from being a prisoner to being a prime minister. Talking about acceleration, that's something you can't even see coming. That's the kind of elevation that man could never do on their own. All throughout the Bible, I could go over and over. We fast forward to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14, the feeding of the 5,000. There's Jesus preaching to the crowd, turns to his disciples, said, yo, these people are hungry. Let's feed them. They're like, what? There's a lot of people here. And so they find 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's like a large meal for one human, or like a medium meal for 2 humans. I mean, you know, I don't know how this kid was rolling, but he had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if you were to take those fish, if they were still alive, and if you were to harvest the eggs, and if you were to farm the fish and multiply, it would take years to get enough fish to feed that crowd. If you were to take the seed that made those loaves of bread, and instead of making bread, plant it in the ground, it would have taken years to harvest enough bread to feed that crowd. What would have taken years in the natural, in the hands of a boy, you put it in the hands of Jesus, all of a sudden, acceleration, and in a moment, there was enough food for a multitude. I'm telling you, this is who our God is. He's not bound by time like we are. He's not bound in the natural like we are. He's not bound by any limitation. He can take nothing and turn it into something. He can take something and accelerate it beyond your wildest dreams. Acceleration. In a couple of weeks here, no, not in a couple of weeks, next week, I'm pumped. There is a race happening just down the road here. And I happen to like that the race is Formula One. And I happen to like Formula One. And I watch a little bit of it throughout the year. And next week is the start of the season. And there's been a documentary that's come out in the last couple of years that gives you a bit of insight, a bit of background into the lives of these Formula One drivers. Some people, if you don't really understand, you're like, oh, you could just be any old person and get behind the wheel of the car and take it really fast. But in all reality, these guys are athletes. They really are very, very fit and very, very strong. And so you get to see them training. You think, you know, maybe they go in the gym and lift weights, get on the treadmill and run. You know, you think that would be normal training. And they do all of those things, but they do some weird stuff as well. And as a Formula One driver, I don't know if you've ever seen those stretchy bands that people use to work out with. And you can pack them in your suitcase if you travel. You can pull them out and put them around your legs, and you can do these ones, you know, work out your back here. And you can stretch them like this and work your arms out and do all kinds of things, and they've got tension in them. These Formula One drivers don't use it like that, though. They wrap it around their head, then wrap another end around a pole, and bend their neck like that. It's weird looking, man. But what they're doing is they're trying to strengthen their neck. Because if you or I were to get in a car like that and take it at speeds like that, we would damage our neck. We would not be able to keep our eyes fixed where they need to go because we wouldn't have enough strength here. And so they understand that they're not driving a car like you or I. They're driving a car with greater acceleration. And with the amount of acceleration, they need a lot more strength to keep their eyes fixed on where they're going. And so they prepare themselves for it, so when the acceleration comes, then the forces aren't going to keep their eyes from going off track. I'm telling someone in this room today that there is power when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Storms may come, distractions may come, discouragements may come, but if you would train yourself to fix your eyes on Jesus, I'm telling you, God wants to accelerate you and take you somewhere supernatural. Shout acceleration. I agree. But we're talking about fish tonight. It's not about the fish. And if there's one person's experience I just want to talk about tonight, his experience of Jesus that I want to look at to help us see acceleration. And it is the man in the Bible named Peter. We find him in the New Testament, and the first place we find him is Matthew chapter 4. It says this in verse 18. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water because they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. You see, this first encounter between Jesus and Peter, Jesus runs into Peter cleaning the nets because he's a fisherman. And Jesus looks at Peter and basically says, it's bigger than you think it is, bro. It's not about the fish. If you come with me, I want to teach you how to do something greater with your life. What you've been doing, no worries. But if you now come with me, I'm going to teach you how to take it up a level. I'm going to teach you how to fish instead for people. And this is the first encounter that we see between Jesus and Peter. But if you fast forward sometime later, we see another encounter with Jesus and Peter in Luke chapter 5. But he's back with the fish. He received this destiny-defining encounter in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus said, it's not about the fish, follow me. But we find in Luke chapter 5, Peter's back with the fish again. And it says this in verse 1. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that the nets began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in on the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Yo, that's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. You see, in the first encounter, we see Jesus speaking into Peter's destiny. To say, come on, man, it's not about the fish. There's more than that. There's something greater here. It's bigger than you realize, Peter. There's more that you're destined for. But then we find that he still went back to the fish. So Jesus shows Peter the real power of acceleration. It's like, all right, maybe you didn't get it the first time. You want fish?
I can give you fish. Let me show you the power of acceleration. Let me show you what happens when you have Jesus in your business. Let me show you what happens when you let Jesus in your life. Let me show you what happens when Jesus is in your pursuits. You want to pursue fish? Peter, I can give you fish. Put your nets down. I'm going to fill your boats to the point of sinking. If fish is what you're going to pursue, I can do that for you. But it's not about the fish. There's more that you're called for. There's greater that I want to do in your life. And Peter, something powerful happens. It's like something flicks a switch on the inside of him. It's like, I get it. It's not about the fish. And the Bible tells us that Peter on the spot leaves it all, leaves the whole thing behind and follows after Jesus. And the next 3 years of his life are crazy. He becomes one of the 12 disciples. He gets to see Jesus raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, seeing miracles take place. He was there at the feeding of the 5,000. He was there when all of these crazy miracles were taking place. And man, can you imagine the excitement on the inside of him? It's like, whoo, I thought I was just going to be a fisherman. And here I am with the King of the world. He's about to take over what's going on here. He's about to kick out the Romans. He's about to take over Jerusalem. He's the king, y'all. Look at what he does. Man, that would have been exciting. But then all of a sudden, everything changed. Because the man Peter left the fish for ends up getting arrested. Peter follows at a distance. People start asking him, "You're one of them. Aren't you one of them? Come on, aren't you?" He denies. He denies even knowing Jesus. He denies knowing Christ, just like Jesus said he would. In fact, the Bible tells us three times Peter denied knowing Christ. Christ eventually was stripped naked. He was beaten. They took all the skin off his back. They took so much flesh off his body. They put a crown of thorns upon his head, and then they nailed him to a cross. This is the man that Peter left the fish for. This is the man that Peter gave away his livelihood for. This is the one that he pinned his hopes upon. And all of a sudden, he was gone. He was dead. He was buried. Can you imagine how confusing that would have been for Peter? You know, I was thinking about this. My wife and I, we have a baby girl. She's about 7 months old now. And I don't care what any other parent says. I mean, she's the cutest baby in the whole world. Doesn't every parent say that? But she's a cute kid. And she's so funny. She started doing this thing recently where, like, you know, there's not much in the world that'll make you feel like a more important person and more awesome than just walking in a room and someone literally convulses with excitement just because you're alive. Just because you walk in the room. It's like, yeah. I am that good. You should be excited. I'm here. I've arrived. I'm home. Daddy's home. Let's go. And so much, she's been doing that for a while now. It's like, yeah, I'm the man. But she started doing this thing recently over the last few weeks. She won't just get excited when you arrive. Now she'll do the opposite and she'll get upset when you leave. But I don't mean like leave the house. I mean just like leave her field of vision. Like literally, I was doing it out the back to her before. I'd step behind a door, she'd get upset. I'd step out into her vision. I'd step away. I'd step back. This is literally what she, and it's really funny when you've got time to play with her. But let's be honest, like, I don't always have time to play with her. Like sometimes I'm going into another room to actually get something done. And then she's losing her mind, like crying. And I'm like, oh, okay, we've got to teach you. You can still hear me. Just because you can't see me, I'm still around. In fact, I'm in this room getting something ready for you. Maybe I'm getting your bath ready. Maybe I'm getting some food ready. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I don't exist. Now, by this point, maybe you know I'm not talking about my child anymore. I'm talking about how some of us react when God, we can't see what he's doing. He's like, God, I can't see you move. God, where have you gone? Have you disappeared? What? God? I mean, we've still got his word. We can still hear his voice. But just because we can't see him move the way we want to move, we freak out, God's gone. Maybe he's just in the next room getting something better ready for you. Maybe he's just in tomorrow getting your miracle ready for you. Maybe he's just in the next moment getting your next breakthrough ready for you. Maybe he's preparing a place for you. And Peter loses sight of Jesus. Jesus goes to the cross. I mean, he said he was going there. He gave them all a heads up. But he goes out of sight. He dies. He gets buried. And they lose sight of Jesus. So in their confusion, he goes back. He goes back to where he came from. He goes back to his past. He goes back to what Jesus called him out of. He goes back to what he knew. And we find in John chapter 21, Peter returning to the boat again, going back to the fish. And he goes out one night and they catch nothing. In the morning, the Bible tells us that Jesus appears, this time on the beach. And John 21 verse 5 says, Jesus calls out to them from the beach, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said to them, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat," so specific, "and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul the net in because there were so many fish in it. And then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, he jumped in the water, and he headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. You see, Peter, I'm going to get the keys to come. Peter, in his confusion, when he lost sight of Jesus, when he took his eyes off Jesus, got confused by his surroundings and what was going on, and he did what many of us can do, and he went back to his past way of doing things. And Jesus, gracious as he is, shows up and does the miracle again for them. It's like, "Yo, if you're chasing fish again, we're doing this again. Do you want me to show you?" It's like, "Do you want fish?" Like, "I can do fish. I can give you the fish if that's what you're chasing. I can give you that miracle if that's the one that you want." So he calls out to him, says, "Yo, throw your net down. You'll get some fish." But then there's a twist in this story. Because Jesus wasn't just saying, "Yo, if you want your miracle, I'll give you that if that's what you want." When they arrived at where Jesus was, he already had fish. The Bible tells us it was already cooked. It was served up, ready, waiting for them. They were out there trying to find the raw thing in their own strength and in their own power, getting something that they'd have to work at and kill themselves and clean themselves and go through a whole process. But Jesus was saying, "Yo, I've accelerated it all. If you just be where I am, I've already got it ready to serve up to you. What you really want is found where I am. You can keep chasing your own dream and desire out there, and I love you enough to bless you. But if you would stay with me, I've got all you need, baby. I got your fish. I got your breakthrough. I got your healing. I got your future. I got your destiny. Whatever it is that you need, I've got it. Your healing power, thank you, Jesus. Your anointing, thank you, Jesus. Your blessing, thank you, Jesus. If I am where you are, I got what I need." He accelerated the whole thing because he was trying to show Peter the whole time, "Man, it's not about the fish. It's about me." Now, I'm talking about fish today. Probably for you, it's not fish. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's results. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's followers. Maybe it's acceptance. Maybe it's the opinion of others. I don't know what it is for you. And it's not that it doesn't matter. It's just that it's not Jesus. It'll never save you. It'll never change your eternity. He can do it. He can do it for you. But it's not about that. is about Him. If you would keep your eyes on Him, whoo, the things of earth grow strangely dim. It's not about that stuff. You need the stuff. He can give you stuff. Some of those things are good, and He can give them to you. But you know what's great? It's Jesus. It's only Jesus. It's always Jesus. What you really want is found in Him. What you're really searching for is found in Him. Come on, Planet Shakers. He is not like an old outfit that you need to get a new outfit. He's not like an old car that you need to get a new car. He's not like our old Savior that you need a new Savior. He's got everything you need. He's deeper than you can ever go. He's higher than you can ever climb. He is further than you can ever run. He is our all in all. He's the one that we keep our eyes set on. And what happens next on this beach is so powerful to me. Because we see Peter going back to his past 3 times. We see Peter denying Christ 3 times. But on this beach, Jesus does something powerful and significant for Peter. He says to Peter, "Do you love me?" He says, "Of course I do." And Jesus releases a decree over his life. "Feed my sheep once." Says it again. "Do you love me?" "You know I do, Jesus." "Then feed my sheep." Releases destiny over him. Does it a third time. "Peter, do you love me?" "Jesus, you know I do." Says it a third time. For every time he went back to his past, Jesus restored him. For every time he denied Christ, Jesus restored him. For every mistake he'd ever made, Jesus had the answer for it. For every time he'd ever turned to the left or the right, Jesus was there to restore him and to set him back on track and to put him on a firm foundation. And in that moment, from that day onwards, we never see Peter going back to the boat. We never see Peter returning to the fish. We never see him looking back to his past, because he learned something that day that it's not about the fish, it's about Jesus. It's not about the followers, it's about Jesus. It's not about money, it's about Jesus. It's not about my strengths, it's not about my achievements, it's about Jesus. Yo, this is where it gets good. I gotta come down on one further. So I gotta come down 2 steps. This is where it gets this good. Somebody say acceleration. Come on, say it like you know what's coming. Say acceleration. Days after this took place, Peter finds himself in an upper room. And the Bible says, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, that sounds like acceleration to me. All of a sudden, as they were together in one place, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was poured out. See, in the past, Jesus was one person in one place at one moment of time. But in that moment of time, there was an acceleration. In all places, at all times, the Holy Spirit was released. All of a sudden, and this man who had returned to his past, this man who had denied Christ, but Jesus had restored him, he stood up in front of that crowd and he released a sermon. He said, "It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world." You want to know who it's about? It's about Jesus. And the Bible tells us 3,000 were added to the church that day. Talk about acceleration, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God started something that day that has accelerated throughout centuries, that we're standing here today because of what took place in that moment. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It always will be about Jesus. He's the one we lift up. He's the one we worship. He's the one we set our gaze upon. He's the one we love. He's the one we serve. He's the one we... It's about Jesus. Some of us are so caught up chasing our career. Chase Christ. Some of us are so caught up chasing comfort. Chase Christ. Doesn't matter what you hear, if you need any, it's found in Jesus. It's Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. He's the one that we want to lift up. We pray that this word blessed you today. Can I encourage you again? If you haven't registered yet for Planet Shakers Conference Melbourne, you got to jump online, check it out. You get all the details at planetshakers.com. And also, we would love to stay in touch with you. Why don't you follow us on social media, on YouTube, on Instagram? Just search Planet Shakers and you'll find us. We love you from wherever in the world you are. God bless you. We'll see you very soon.